Our epistle reading for this morning from 1 Corinthians is one that I have no doubt that you have heard before. In fact, after perhaps John 3:16 and Psalm 23, this is one of the most popular and beloved passages from the whole Bible. And certainly for good reason. It is a beautiful description and picture of one of the most important things to the whole human life and experience. Love. Valentine's Day is coming up in just about a week and a half from now. The stores are certainly full of various items to help celebrate that. Couples around the world are encouraged to demonstrate their love for each other with all kinds of chocolates, flowers, greeting cards, gifts, dinners, and more. In 2017, the total amount spent on Valentine's Day in the United States alone was estimated at $18.2 billion, or more or less an average of every $136 per person. Now, obviously, some people are really splurging for that. Is this an attempt to show love? Is it an attempt to prove one's love is genuine and real and deeply felt? This picture of love from 1 Corinthians gives us God's perspective on what genuine and real love ought to look like. And even though it is a fairly popular choice for weddings as a Bible reading, it's not a kind of love unique to romantic relationships. But it is a kind of love that is characteristic of Christian faith. Paul gives us this little tangent on the nature and the importance of love right in the middle of a longer passage talking about spiritual gifts, talking about the nature of the Christian church as the body of Christ, and about the way that Christians interact and live together in this world. The passage, our reading today, starts out with his words, "I will show you a still more excellent way." And the first point of this most excellent way is this: without love, I am nothing. Nothing I can do has any power or importance apart from love. What about speaking in tongues, a great miracle brought about by the Holy Spirit? Without love, that's nothing more than a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. I have to say, Joseph has recently discovered the kitchen cabinet where we keep the pots and pans. He's just started pulling out the lids and playing the cymbals with them. That's what comes to my mind when I hear this, and let me tell you how loud and annoying the sound of a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal can be when the one-year-old loves to crash them against the floor, the wall, his brother, and so forth. And great miracles without love are about like that, we're told. Even if I have the power of prophecy, even if I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, without love, that means nothing. Even if I'm the greatest preacher in the world, don't worry, I am very well aware that I'm not. Even if you're the greatest evangelist in the world, even if I understand everything there is to know about the Bible and theology, without love, it means nothing. That's a hard reminder to someone like me who really does love learning and school and theology. Maybe it's a hard reminder for you, too. It doesn't matter how much you know, or who you know, or what you can do, or what skills you have, if you don't have love. Even if I have faith great enough to move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Even if I give away all that I have and I deliver my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Believing the right things, believing them hard enough and sincerely enough, doing good deeds large enough, giving generously and charitably, even going so far as dying a martyr's death to stand for what you believe. All of that without love. And Paul says it means nothing. Living the perfect, exemplary Christian life, lacking nothing at all in faith or good works, even that is ultimately meaningless if it's done without love. So by this point, I think it is very natural to wonder, what is this love that is so incredibly important? What is this characteristic that we're supposed to have that means more than miracles, more than knowledge, more than faith, more than good works? That's what the next verses show us. We get both a positive and a negative description of it. In other words, we're told what it is like and what it is not like. Love does not envy or boast. Love is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing. Well, now, I don't know about you, but I cannot read through those things without thinking of at least one instance where at least one of those words described me. What about the other side of it? Love is patient and kind. It bears all things. It requires patience and forgiveness and even stamina. Love believes at all things and hopes all things. This doesn't mean that it's gullible or foolish, but a better translation might be this. Love supports without limits. Love is faithful without limits. It can't just say, I'll only go so far with you and then you're on your own. I'll help you for a little while, but my faithfulness has its limits. Love is not a fair-weather friend. It endures. Love never ends. Once again, I am all too aware this does not describe me the way that it apparently should. In fact, who could ever achieve this standard? Who can love like this? The answer, of course, is that Paul is not just writing about us human beings. This is certainly a picture of God's love. And as Christians, we strive imperfectly to imitate it. It is a picture of real love, not corrupted by sin. This is not the kind of love that we hear about in movies and songs and poems, the warm and fuzzy feelings of Valentine's Day and greeting cards, a pale copy of God's true love. This is what God has for us. God so loved the world, of John 3:16. And it is what he wants us to have for one another. This is what God gives to us as his gift, as we are slowly but surely sanctified and conformed to his image by the work of the Holy Spirit. This is what Paul calls the more excellent way. And I remember how the book of Acts refers to the whole Christian faith as simply the way of life. We are encouraged, as the next chapter says, to pursue this kind of love. Now, the rest of this chapter puts it all into perspective, an eternal perspective. Paul is thinking about a whole different worldview than we normally do. Knowledge, prophecy, miracles, these are things that are indeed important here and now. These are important in this world. But what about in eternity, in the new creation, in the kingdom of Christ after his second coming, when all the dead are raised and all things are restored? Knowledge and prophecy and miracles, these are things that serve to strengthen the body of Christ here and now. But they will serve their purpose for a time and then be gone. But love will last into eternity because this gives us a picture of God. It gives us a picture of what it means to be fully and perfectly human. Prophecies will cease. The knowledge of this world will pass away, be replaced by something more perfect. But love will never end. So where should our real priority be? Faith, hope, and love remain. And the greatest of these is love. In the new and the eternal creation, we won't need faith and hope anymore. Faith is confidence in things that are not seen, the Bible tells us. And in the life to come, we will see God face to face. When we see, when we do not have to hope and anticipate anymore because we will see the fulfillment of what we were waiting for. Faith and hope define the Christian life in this world. But in the next, we will see and we will experience. But love will not change. It will not pass away. It will not become obsolete. Just as we will see him face to face then, we have already the one real example of this love in Jesus. What if we went back and we replaced love with Christ in this passage? If I have prophetic powers and understand all knowledge, but have not Christ, I am nothing. If I do miracles and I give to charity and I even suffer martyrdom, but I do it without Christ, I am nothing. Christ is patient and kind. He did not envy or boast. He is not arrogant or rude. He did not insist on his own way, but served his Father's will. He did not rejoice at wrongdoing, only the truth. He himself is the truth. He bore all things, even the sins of the world. He endured all things, even death on a cross. Christ never ends. He has risen from the grave, never to die again. So to really and truly see this love, we have to look to Jesus. To really and truly live this kind of love, we have to know Jesus. We have to be empowered and sanctified by the Holy Spirit that he sends. This is the love that never fails and never fades. This is the love that comes to us as God's gift to us. Not our own inadequate copies or our own attempts. It's not about how we feel about others, but how we act towards them. How we see what it looks like when we look at our Lord, and we are called as Christians, as little Christs, to imitate. It's simply who we are. You can't force yourself to have this kind of genuine love through stubborn willpower. I can't create it in you through whatever kind of preaching and teaching I can do. It comes through the work of the Holy Spirit. But we are also confident that the Spirit is indeed working. The Spirit is working in you because you were born again into faith in baptism. You were given new life as God's beloved child. Now this is your real identity. It is in your spiritual DNA. Love God and love your neighbor. That is the summary of God's law from first to last. In 1 John, we read this too. By this we know love, that Christ laid down his life for us. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son be the sacrifice for our sins. Paul tells us that without love, I am nothing, I have nothing, I gain nothing. And this love is Christ himself. Without him, without the gifts he gives to us this very day, we are helpless and hopeless. But he leads us faithfully day by day to see this more excellent way, that he himself is the way, the truth, and the life. And he shows us that this love that we are called to share. So we continue in these three that abide, faith, hope, and love. And we strive every day to show the love of Christ and to share his gospel with all that we meet. And we know that his peace that passes all understanding keeps us in faith and in hope until we see his love face to face. Amen.